Hey, y'all. What the hell day is it today? It's Monday.
Monday, yeah.
That's right.
Monday, we're doing a good one. It's called The Accountant.
Yeah, we got it right here.
Yeah.
Louis sent it to us.
Yeah, Louis sent that. Louis always sends good movies.
He does, yeah. He sent this one, and he sent the steelbook of Karate Kid.
Karate Kid. If it's coming from Louis, then I know it's some good shit. He's got a good taste.
He does have good taste in movies.
Now, Louis, I think you may have sent me some other ones that I haven't gotten to yet. Matter of fact, if anybody has sent us movies over
and
the
we
past,
haven't reviewed them,
drop.
Yeah,
Jimmy a line.
Tell me, because sometimes I forget. Like,
right.
If they get, yeah.
Because I still got them, but during the move, they got packed in all with my regular ones, and I don't know which ones I've seen and haven't seen anymore. So I need a list of the ones you guys sent that we didn't review, so I can pull them out and put them in line, so I can line them up and watch.
I can think of one that somebody sent. It might have been Louie, but I can't remember. Was Sexy Beast, which I've actually seen before, but you've never seen
it. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
And that's one. Yeah, I really liked it. But yeah, I haven't seen it for a long time. But that was definitely one that I remember that we never got around to.
I was kind of bummed out. I think Sophie sent that.
Oh, yeah, maybe she did.
I think Sophie sent that one.
I can't remember. Like I said, it was a long time ago.
I think it was Sophie.
And like I said, when we moved, it kind of everything got moved around. And we used to have them all like in a pile, like separate.
And I got sent Collateral twice.
That's right.
With Tom Cruise. Yeah. And we tried to watch it twice and couldn't get 5 minutes into it either side. There was something about it at the beginning.
We'll have to try again sometime.
Because
so many people like this movie. And I'm like, well, there has to be a reason why so many people like it. It's just, I don't know if I'm just never in the right mood to watch it.
Yeah, there's something about it. I'm like, man, this is slow.
It's not even that. I'm not even sure. I can't put my finger on what it is.
Something about the tone of the first 5 or 10 minutes of that movie. It's like, I don't want to see this one. And I'll move it back in the line. But it's supposed to be a good movie. I just got to let it play.
Yeah. But yeah, this particular movie, this came out back in 2016. And I actually hadn't heard about it. I think that was the same year. Wasn't that the same year that Batman vs. Superman came out? I don't remember.
Huh?
Batman vs. Superman. Wasn't that the same year that came out? I think it wasn't Ben Affleck in that too. But so this came out in 2016 and I had never heard of it, even though it was actually pretty financially successful. Made $155 million on only a $44 million budget. So this is basically, it's sold as an action thriller, which I guess it kind of is. But it's kind of like a character study too, and almost like a financial mystery. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on in this.
Kind of reminds me of that movie, The Professional, where you got like a guy who's fucking almost like an assassin or a hitman type of guy, but he's weird. Yeah, and this is about a guy who's an accountant, but he's also ex-military, and his dad was ex-military, and he's had a bunch of training and stuff, and he's an accountant for all these organized crime syndicates, but he's also a mathematical genius. He's got autism. So his dad kind of like trained him so well that the autism didn't much matter. I guess he could even go into the military. And he went goes to prison too and learned stuff in prison. But anyway, once he was out, he got involved with this. It's kind of complicated.
I was going to say, this is definitely a movie. I actually really liked this a great deal. Yeah. But it definitely is one that you have to pay close attention to, because the plot has a lot of moving parts, and the movie, thankfully, does not spell a lot of things out for you.
You gotta figure it out.
You kind of have to figure things out as it goes along, and it jumps back and forth in time without really telegraphing that, or without really, like, telling you
John
that it's
Bernthal's
doing
it. In it, too.
That's right.
Which I like him. He does a good job. I think it was great as Shane in fucking Walking Dead, and did good as the Punisher, too, even though the writing on the Punisher is not good. But he does a great job with what they give him. He's just too soft. But fucking, he fucking nailed the Punisher in fucking Daredevil Season 2. That was the Punisher. The Punisher series, he's just too sane. The Punisher's supposed to be just fucking mean. You know, that's what he... But he's in this movie. He plays basically a guy who owns a private security company for bad guys, basically. Well, he'll work for anybody.
Or for anybody that will pay him. Right. So, like, kind of a mercenary type situation.
He's also just a torpedo. If you've been fucking over your company, and your company wants you to stop stealing money, they'll send him after you. He'll beat you up, scare the shit out of you, and possibly kill you. He does that, too. So he's kind of like a hitman also.
Yeah, so, like I said, there's a lot of stuff going on because, I mean, the main kind of narrative is mostly about Ben Affleck's character, who's... name is Christopher Wolf, although that's an alias. Like, you don't, I don't even think you, do you ever find out what his actual real name is?
I don't know.
I think they do say at some point, but he goes by different aliases, usually different mathematicians. Because, so you kind of get into his backstory, but then there's also this other thing where J.K. Simmons, that actor, he works for the Treasury Department, he kind of blackmails this woman into tracking him down because nobody knows who this Ben Affleck who he is. They know that he's just known as the accountant and he works for, again, anybody that will pay him. Like, he'll work for like terrorists or extremist groups or anything like that. Anybody that needs the services of an accountant, like somebody's, you know, stealing money from them or something like that. So he has to come in and like look at their books and figure it out. And because he has autism and he's like a mathematical genius, he's really, really good at it. And he can like pick up shit that other people would miss. So he's kind of become really, really well known in really high up criminal circles as the dude that's gonna like figure out your shit for you. And so he's been photographed like with all of these kind of like high up criminal dudes. And so the Treasury Department is like really, really after him. They don't know what his identity, they just see him in all these pictures. So there's also that parallel story of the Treasury Department that trying to like figure out the mystery of who this guy is. There's also a little bit of a romantic subplot. I don't know if I'd go that far to say it, but there's a little bit of that in there. Yeah. But not like in a cheesy like rom-com kind of way.
He's got a love interest.
What ends up happening is he actually, even though he usually works for criminals, he actually gets a gig where supposedly he's working for a legit company, which is like a robotics company for people that have had limbs removed and whatnot, run by John Lithgow. And somebody has found a discrepancy. This woman that works there, who's played by Anna Kendrick, and she has found some kind of discrepancy, so they bring him in because his reputation precedes him, and he finds the discrepancy, and then it turns out that that kind of puts a target on his back, and also the woman that initially found the discrepancy, and they kind of have, they kind of like start developing a little bit of a relationship, but because he has autism and he can't really relate to people in any particular way, even though he has like trained to be somewhat social but not really all that social, but she kind of it. He can fake it a little bit, but he still comes across as very blunt and very weird, and like they have a thing where she makes some kind of joke about the college that she went to, right, where she says where fun goes to die, and he's like, he doesn't understand like that that's a joke or what she's talking about. He's like, why does fun go to die there, you know what I mean? So I thought it was like a pretty good, this is essentially, and it's funny that you brought up Daredevil, because this is kind of a similar thing where they're almost attempting to make, it's not like a superhero story, but they're almost attempting to make like a badass action hero out of somebody that has, you know, what would have in the past been called a quote-unquote handicap. You know what I mean? Just like Daredevil, and he's blind, but his blindness actually becomes something that's sort of like a superpower. And I kind of feel like they did that a little bit with this too, but in a more like realistic kind of
way. He's a criminal.
He is, yeah.
So that's what I was going to say, is he's kind of more like the professional.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that guy was mentally handicapped. He was the hitman, the criminal. But he was also kind of like a superhero in a way, trying to save that girl. Which makes you wonder if he had a relationship with this girl. She said they did, but then it looked like she was fantasizing about it. But that was a good movie, in a way.
Man, like, we'll have to do that one at some point, too. I haven't seen that for years, and I remember liking that movie a lot.
Yeah, that was a little bitty, what's her name? Fucking.
Yeah, that's right.
What's that woman's name?
Princess
Almodovar.
Yeah, I know.
Natalie Portman.
Yeah, Natalie Portman.
It was like a 12-year-old.
It was baby Natalie Portman.
It was like an 11-year-old.
Not like baby, baby, but.
She's like 11. 12, maybe.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman. Probably 11.
Yeah.
She played the girl that he saved. He saved her from getting hit, huh? When they didn't
I can't remember. It's been like so long since I've seen
it. Kind of like a reversal of the story Gloria, which I want to do that one. About the gangster chick that saves a little boy who lived next door.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Hugo said, I liked this movie. Hey, you don't get Batman versus Punisher every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I do kind of like... I don't know. There was a lot that I really, really liked about this. It's kind of, as I said, an original take on... I saw this other review of it, and they said it's almost like A Beautiful Mind meets The Bourne Identity, which, I thought that was kind of... Yeah, like, using something that, you know, would be kind of... But the thing about it is that it's not just the fact that he's autistic or he's a mathematical genius and can go through, like... Because he goes through, like, years and years and years of this company's books, like, in one night and finds all these little discrepancies and stuff, which no one's been able to do. And so it's not only that he can do that, but the fact that they do all these flashbacks, and because, you know, they go back to... I guess it was, like, the 80s, right? And they go back to, like, this neurological place where he was at when he was a kid, and his dad, who was very... He was, like, a psyops guy... And he's just kind of like, I don't think that we should put the kid in, like, an institute, and I don't think that we should, you know, even though he has, like, all these, like, heightened sensitivities to, like, noise and stuff like that, he's like, I think we should go the opposite direction and, like, do, like, overstimulation so that he gets used to it because the world isn't gonna, you know, accommodate him and all this other kind of stuff. So he did all that kind of stuff like his dad did, and his dad had him trained in, like, martial arts and, like, Jakarta, and he had, like... He would take him to, like, you know, bullies and stuff would pick on him because he was weird, and that he would just, his dad would take him and just, like, you know, go beat all those bullies' asses, and so he, like, kind of, like, quote-unquote toughened him up. So that's sort of why, and he's, like, super, super into guns, and he has, like, pretty much all the money that he could ever want, although a lot of it seems like it's in, like, gold and paintings and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's got some badass guns.
But yeah, he's got like a whole, like, in his Airstream trailer where he goes from place to place. Because like I said, he can't really settle down anywhere. He can't really have an identity anywhere because he works for like the highest like criminal organizations in the world.
He had so much money, they pay him in all these guns sometimes that when he abandoned his main house, which is just like a normal looking house, like in a middle class fucking kind of neighborhood, you know, kind of country middle class. And he left behind guns, and he left behind a damn General Electric minigun, and let go. He's fucking, he left behind shit because he couldn't take it with him.
Just and he had kind of guns plenty, he had. I mean.
Yeah, he had fucking good, fucking, looked like some kind of Barrett 50. I don't think it was a Barrett. It was another one of those 50 caliber semi-auto rifles. I don't think it was a Barrett, though. He used that, blew dude's fucking head off with it. He was real good with guns.
Yeah, well, like I said, that's somebody that, I mean, this seemed like a fairly accurate portrayal of somebody with high functioning autism, and that's something that a lot of autistic men have, particularly, is they're very, very into machines, or they're like laser focused on one. So that like totally tracks.
They know everything about one subject.
They would know everything about like one thing.
Yeah.
You know, which is, so he knows a lot about guns and a lot about math, but not so much about a bunch of other stuff.
About people.
Yeah. So in some of the ways it's like, it's not a comedy, but it does have like some kind of funny touches in it, just the way that people react to him and the way he's, because he just comes across as like just very blunt.
He had this trailer that he could leave with. It was like one of those damn 1950s.
Yeah, like an Airstream.
Airstream types, all polished aluminum on the outside, and inside it was all wood, high class shit. He had fucking Renoirs in there and fucking Jackson Pollock paintings up on the ceiling and classy shit in there.
Yeah, drawers full of gold bars.
drawers full of money and gold bars and fucking a lot of high-end fucking guns and armor. He had a fucking armory room. He walked in there and there was a fucking all of his fucking shit up in racks with his fucking body armor and his stuff. It was a cool concept. I would have loved to have something like that. That's like some shit I'd build.
Yeah, that definitely seemed like something. Well, I just kind of liked it because...
He could leave at any moment. He could just leave and have everything and have a classy pad wherever he went. Yeah. But he didn't really... He was kind of appreciating it, but I don't think he realized how odd it was.
Yeah, because, he was just kind of like, he was just doing what he wanted to do. Like, and it was funny, too, because he has, like, drawers full of gold bars and all the guns and stuff like that, and then he has drawers full of, like, all the old, like, action comics.
Action comic number one with Superman.
And he treated it exactly the same as you would treat a gold bar, which I guess you probably should, because it's probably worth about
worth over $1 million, I
think. So he had all that kind of stuff, too, and it's just, like you said... Maybe, like, intellectually he knew that it was odd, but yeah, like, when his, that friend of his, what was her character name? Dana. When she came over, because he was trying to protect her because now, you know, she was going to get shot, too, because of the accounting thing that she uncovered, and she comes into this airstream, and she's like, what the fuck? It's like, exactly, because she just thought he was, like, some nerdy, you know, because he just seems like a nerdy, awkward dude. Yeah. But I like that he doesn't overplay it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I do feel like sometimes, you know, some actors, if they have to play somebody that has some kind of, you know, neurological disorder or whatever, I kind of feel like they err on the side of maybe going too far with it. But Ben Affleck, I think, did a good job in this. He's he has a very flat affect. I don't want to say it's not played for laughs. I mean, he does say some funny shit, but... They're not like it's not like making fun of him.
He had a motorcycle too. I think it was either in that trailer or in the garage. I don't remember if he left it behind. It was one of those, I think a Confederate Wraith. I think it's called a Wraith or a Banshee. Had that damn carbon fiber Springer front end on it. Fucking super expensive, basically hand built motorcycle. He had one of those. Was that in the trailer or was that in the garage?
Well, that's the thing. Like, after he took off, after he saved Dana and he had to, like, split because they were both, like, you know, going to get assassinated. So he abandoned his house. And then the, you know, the feds came and, like, went to the house and he had left a bunch of stuff in there. And I think that's where it was, like, when they went into the garage. Yeah, so I think
he did abandon that motorcycle.
Well, you couldn't take it. I mean, I guess maybe you could fit it in the trailer, but.
I'd have to see it again. That was a fucking nice motorcycle. Fucking Tom Cruise got one of those. They're worth a lot of money. I think they're at least $100,000. You guys can check it out. But that's a lot for a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know. I really liked the idea of, you know, somebody like an autistic character, but like a badass superhero kind of. But like I said, it's not like a superhero movie. It's grounded in reality more or less. But... It is kind of like an action thriller, but and I just thought that was kind of a cool concept. So they're talking about, and Affleck played Batman and Daredevil. That's right, he did play Daredevil at some point, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Oh, and he says he also played George Reeves, the guy who played Superman in the old... Yeah, that was in Hollywoodland, right? That was actually a really good movie. You probably like that, too. It's about George Reeves, how he died.
Okay, yeah,
Yeah, I saw it in the theater, and I remember that being really good. I'd forgotten Ben Affleck was in that.
They were talking about how jacked Affleck got for
Batman.
For Batman, yeah, that was part of his fucking douchery. I've seen him on some of the fucking talk shows, and combative and fucking dumb and shit. That's because all that fucking gear he's on. Like, and I recognize that. I was like, yeah, I know that feeling. But he's fucking acting an ass.
He's like, man, so are you saying that you're acting an ass all the time?
No, sometimes all that fucking testosterone, all that fucking Winstrol, all that Dianabol and shit, fucking getting big, fucking becoming an ass and getting big. He's like, shut the fuck up, dude. But that's just, and it makes you wonder why Bernthal it doesn't get big, okay? He's kind of small. In this movie. You looked at him, he looked...
But I think it kind of works for him, to be honest.
He kind of walks around kind of bowed up like he's really going to do something. I'm looking at him, I go, man, that dude's small compared to me.
Yeah, but...
Proportionally. He's probably a few inches taller than me. But
I liked that scene with him and that dude in the car where they were having that conversation. That was kind of like his introduction, like, as a character, where he was just... beating the crap out of that dude. That was, like, fucking pretty fucking funny.
Yeah.
And like I said, well, the thing about it, I liked this because everybody in this is kind of like, I don't want to say everybody's likable because there are villains, but everybody's a very, very morally gray character. Like, even Ben Affleck's character, you know, not only does he do accounting, like, do the books for, you know, terrorists, like, they said he worked for the Taliban and stuff like that, but he's also killed people. Now, granted, the people he killed are usually are bad people, like people from crime families and shit like that. So I don't think anybody's going to cry about it. But, you know, he's still like a criminal, essentially. Yeah. And his brother is too, but they're still like, I don't know. I guess they're still kind of like good dudes, though.
Rick Shaw says, I just saw Bernthal in an interview. Looks like he's aged a lot.
Really?
It's funny because he's young. He's younger than me by a good 6 years.
Yeah, I thought he was young. I haven't seen him in a while.
See, here's the thing about these guys, all these actors. You're only seeing them on screen, and you're seeing them when they're at their best, when they're fucking trained up and they're ready to do these roles. Same thing with musicians and performers. You don't really know how they live. I mean, they might be fucking substance abusers and all kinds of shit, or terrible diet, or...
Yeah, when they don't have to, like, get their shit together for a role or for whatever, they might just be like, fuck it, I'm hitting the donuts.
Sitting around drinking and hitting donuts, fucking doing drugs. A lot of them are drug addicts, you know? I mean, you look at fucking Madonna and what she's done to herself. Madonna's not that old. She shouldn't need all that plastic surgery in her face. Little nips and tucks here and there, but she looked like she really fucked herself up. And you're like, damn, she didn't age too well. She's not that old. You don't know how much that bitch drinks. She might drink a lot. She might do a lot of drugs. She might be an addict.
Yeah, you don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. Because like you said, you only see them in the movies when they are at their peak and like they're shot nice and stuff like that.
Yeah. And you don't know what they're... So you have this idealized image in your head. Well, that motherfucker must work out all the time. Oh, man, he must be real healthy. Yeah, for that movie, when he wasn't working, that motherfucker might be smoking crack. You just don't know.
Which I mean, I get that because I mean the jobs that they're doing, like on the movies, you know, it's very intense a lot of times. Depending on what kind of movie it is, obviously, but it's very intense. They have to look a particular way. They have to weigh a particular thing. If it's, you know, an action star, you have to like bulk up. You know, so they have like this really like training regime that they have to do, and then they shoot the movie, and it's like 2-3 months, something like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they might have another few months off before their next project.
Yeah.
So they're just probably like, fuck that. That was like, I had to fucking eat nothing, and you know, where you had to do that. So it's like they just want to relax. I get that.
There's only a certain select few core dudes where working out and doing that shit is in them. You know who they are. You recognize Jason Statham. He's into that shit. The Rock. That motherfucker. Wherever he goes, he carries his own gym with him. And it's a tent that's air-conditioned with a full fucking gym. Wherever he goes, that thing goes with him.
Well, and he started out as a wrestler, not an actor, to be fair.
And then you got Stallone. Stallone fucking works out, man, and he's always fucking jacked. And for an old dude, man, fucking Stallone is fucking fantastic. And the same with fucking, well, Arnold for a while. When he started getting into his 50s, his heart fucked up, and he really couldn't train that hard. But, which... Stallone eventually beat him because I think Stallone didn't go on any gear until he was much older than, you know, fucking... Arnie was born taking steroids. He was, basically. He's fucking 14 fucking doing Anavar and Winstrol and fucking getting huge. So he really burned up a lot of gas in his tank. But Jason Statham, that motherfucker works out, fucking The Rock, fucking...
Rick Shaw said, I think Statham was an Olympic swimmer before acting.
Yeah.
So they were athletes prior.
There are athletes before. So guys that have athletic or military backgrounds who are just into that shit, that's just how they want to live. Like, whenever I wasn't in training, I felt like fucking, like I was cheating, you know. Getting back into physicality, I feel so much better, man. I feel a lot better. Fucking, I just had to be working or something, but I didn't really lift up until, I guess, about 4 years ago when I started. It's a lot easier. You can fucking really... change your body composition with weight than just putting on rucksacks walking around or fucking doing hard labor. It's not the same.
Tyler, the guy says, he, meaning Ben Affleck, also sleeps with Diane Lane in Hollywoodland, so that means Batman slept with Superman's mom. Strong 78 said, this could be a whole game, 6 degrees of superhero incest.
Yeah.
Shit.
Now, back when I was saying fucking Bernthal, he needs to fucking do something. Yeah, he needs to do something.
Well, like I said, I haven't seen him in a while. I probably haven't seen him since last Punisher. Have I seen him in anything since then? When was the last Punisher season?
Oh, man.
Because this was 2016.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
this
last...
This is 2016?
This movie was. Yeah.
He looked small then. I think there's three or four seasons of The Punisher. I got into season two.
I can't remember.
Season two seemed to be a little bit better than season one, but I still just couldn't really stick with it. It was just kind of boring. It's just... But the material they gave him in fucking... in Daredevil season two is just spot on. That's the fucking Punisher. The series is just too lightweight. It's just... It's not violent enough. You know? That's... Sorry. The fucking Punisher was a bad guy, basically.
Hugo says, talking about this movie, how about when J. Jonah Jameson, played by J.K. Simmons, says he was a good father, great performance. I love that guy. I mean...
That was one of his strongest roles I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, he's in fucking everything, that dude is. But yeah, I really, really liked him in this. And honestly, I really liked... Because, you know, I don't want to spoil too much about the movie, but a lot of the people in it, like a lot of the players in it, like have backs. They each kind of get their own backstory, and a lot of things are kind of like interrelated that you initially don't think are interrelated. Like at first, it's interesting that they kind of have in one of the first scenes they have Ben Affleck. You know, well, it's not Ben Affleck actually, but it's like somebody playing his character as a kid, and he's putting together a puzzle. Except he's putting it together like upside down, like face down. You know what I mean? So he can only see the back, but he knows how to put it together. And it's interesting that they use kind of like puzzle pieces as a sort of thematic thing, like throughout the movie, because that's kind of how the movie is shot. It's just like all these little random puzzle pieces that don't. When you first start watching the movie, it doesn't really make sense how they fit together until you keep watching it, and then like more connections kind of come into it. So I thought that was like a clever kind of way to go about it. And it wasn't real overt that that's what they were doing.
Tyler says there are two seasons of The Punisher. When season two dropped, we knew it was only a matter of time because all the other Marvel shows got canceled by that point. Okay. I'd only seen half of season two. I never watched it. It was just, to me, it was weak sauce. Just seemed weak sauce. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. Dialogue fucking in that character is fucking critical. You can't have the fucking Punisher walking around fucking saying the kind of things that he's fucking saying and doing the kind of things that he's doing. I mean, the Punisher is like what you saw in Daredevil season two. You gotta be saying you're a half measure. He's gonna be punking other people out. He's a vigilante. He's killing people. You know? You can't make that a hero in today's thing. He's an anti-hero. You know, he's putting people on meat hooks. And that's what the Punisher was like. So, yeah.
Well, and the thing about it, I mean, kind of tying back into this movie, is that the characters in this, like Ben Affleck's character in this, he's not a good guy.
No.
He does terrible things, and he's a criminal.
Yeah.
But...
You can root for him.
But you can still root for him, though.
Yeah, he's not evil.
Yeah, he's not an evil person. Yeah. He does have a moral code.
Right. That was the same thing with the Punisher.
Right.
Punisher was a bad guy. He wasn't evil, though.
And like I said, I do kind of feel like people... that's one thing that I kind of like about more modern movies is that I think people are a lot more... open to watching something about an anti-hero, like, and somebody that's obviously not a good guy, but... They're still like a compelling character. You don't have to think they're a good person to want to watch some shit.
Right. And for me, the Punisher is a demon in hell punishing other fucking demonic sinners. That's what that story's about. He's a bad, but he's punishing people even worse. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he's kind of in his own private hell. And he has to do this bad shit. And there's other, depending on what story it is, a bunch of shit happens in there, you know. But the whole head injury angle, beautiful. That was fucking great writing. That the skull represented the fucking his head injury. That was his superpower.
Yeah.
Been there, done that. Yeah.
Well, Tom's head injury is also his
superpower. Yeah, that's a superpower.
In some ways.
Yeah, it's a superpower unto itself. Yeah.
Strong78 says, Peacemaker is an awesome comic book TV series. James Gunn knows how to do them right. Which streaming service is that on? Because I don't know... If I've seen that, I don't think I've seen that. Tyler the guy says the Punisher is pretty much a heroic serial killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, he's like a less likable Dexter.
Yeah, or fucking Hannibal Lecter. If you go to Hannibal Rising, the very first movie, which is a masterpiece. Well, actually, the prequel, Hannibal Rising. If you guys haven't seen it, see it. Fucking great.
Yeah, we were.
It's like the Batman Begins of serial killer movies. And it's European done well. Period piece. Great sets. Good acting. Great writing. Yeah, good movie. Artistic. And it's aged very well. Aged very well.
Rickshaw says bring back Dolph Lundgren. Although, how old is that motherfucker?
He's too old.
He's too old
for the Punisher.
They'd have to CGI his ass.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's
going. That wasn't a good Punisher movie if you
had. Yeah, I remember not really liking it. I've only seen it once and it was a long time ago, but I remember just not it being not all that
John
memorable.
Bernthal nailed it in fucking season 2 of Daredevil. That's it.
I kind of feel like Daredevil. I don't know. I wanted to say that Daredevil was overall my favorite of like the Marvel ones, but I don't know. Jessica Jones was really good. Oh, and Luke Cage was really good.
Yeah, Luke Cage was good too.
I don't know. I liked those three.
Yeah.
You know, the other one I could have done without Iron Fist. That was that was kind of blah.
Yeah.
But Daredevil was great. Jessica Jones was great. Luke Cage was great.
Yeah.
But those were all. I wouldn't mind like rewatching those at some point. I think we've rewatched. We watched Daredevil, like, a couple of times, but I think I've only watched Jessica Jones, like, through once.
Daredevil was the strongest one, actually.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they were all good, and they all... I liked them all for different ways. I liked that they had their own shit going on.
Season 2, with Kingpin, fucking that guy who played fucking... What was his Baby Huey from fucking Full Metal Jacket?
Yeah.
Knocks that out of the park. One of the best portrayals
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah.
I love that actor. He's a great actor.
That's fucking beautiful acting, man. Fucking his Kingpin, where he's a villain, but you sympathize with him. He fell in love for that woman, and just that was his thing. It was just that was a great.
See, but that's what I mean. Right. It's like even villains. I mean, your villain, that's kind of like the linchpin of your whole shit. If you don't have a good villain, you don't really have a good story. And the villain has to be complicated, just as complicated as the good guy.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's not interesting.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Villains are always kind of more interesting than good guys are.
If he's sympathetic, it's even better.
Yeah, like if you can kind of see, just like, I could kind of see myself doing that, even though, like, intellectually, you know, it's terrible. But yeah, I just think that's really good. But yeah, so I think that this movie kind of has, I don't even know if, like, when they made this movie, it almost seemed like they were trying to set up, like, a Bourne Identity style, like, franchise, maybe? I don't really know. But I don't know if they're going to do that or if they're going to do any more of these, because this actually did make quite a bit of money. But I don't know. I just liked it. I liked the idea of doing sort of a Bourne Identity thing, but with, like, an autistic mathematician guy. And I don't know. I just thought that was kind of, like, a cool idea. And, I probably wouldn't have watched it if Louis hadn't sent it to us.
Right.
Because, like I said, Louis always sends us good movies.
Yeah, he's got a good reputation.
I mean, all y'all that send us movies send us good movies, but...
I know if it comes from Louis or if it comes from Louis, I know it's going to be good. Same thing with Sophie. If Sophie says, watch this, because she knows you real well, so because we talk all the time on little thing. So we have similar tastes in fucking stories and shit, so she watched this one. And man, she turned me on to some fucking good movies.
She's the one that sent us that Bronson movie.
Yeah, Bronson,
which was awesome.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
I loved that.
Yeah, and if you've seen Clockwork Orange first, then you really enjoy Bronson because it evokes a lot from Stanley Kubrick's fucking Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
All right, so we done talking about accounting? All right, so either tonight we will find another movie to watch. I don't know what it's going to be, or... we might just watch the other two, because I started watching that John Wayne Gacy thing that's on Netflix, but we watched this movie, and then I watched, like, the first episode of that, and then I was too tired to, like, stay awake anymore. So, I don't know. So we might just talk about the John Wayne Gacy show, or I might find another movie to watch. We'll see what my mood is like in a couple of hours. So we will be back tomorrow talking about another movie or possibly a series. So thanks for dropping by, everybody, and we will talk to you guys again tomorrow.